Monday for April 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church in Newbern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in a lengthy series of messages, beginning in Ezekiel chapter 8, where God will bring Ezekiel. God did bring Ezekiel back in the spirit from Babylon to Jerusalem to show him why the children of Israel had to go into captivity. And from this, we are gathering that God dealt with Israel in that way because of their sin, and that he will deal with us as well. That has brought us over to the New Testament, particularly to Revelation chapters 2 and 3. We've been looking at the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, and now we're looking at the letter to the church in Philadelphia, one of the two churches that was not rebuked by our Lord. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart and the hearts of all of our listeners. God, give us grace to stand. And having done all to stand, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the wonderful commendations that our Lord gave to the church over in Philadelphia, let me read it again in Revelation 3 and beginning in verse 7. And to the angel or the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." What a wonderful commendation from our Lord to these dear folk over in Philadelphia. And notice that God had set before them an open door that nobody could shut it. They were not a strong people. They had a little strength. But with what strength they had, they used it to keep the word of God. And they had not denied the name of the Lord. On our last couple of broadcasts, we were looking at Peter. He boasted and made a declaration that he would never turn his back on the Lord. And basically, so did the other disciples as well, all of them except Judas at this time. At that time, Judas had left to go betray the Lord. But in the long run, Peter denied the Lord three times and the other disciples were scattered. I want to be able to stand. As I said on the last broadcast, I don't know what I will do. It's not what I would have done that's so important, but what will I do when the line is drawn and I take my stand for the Lord? I want to stand for him. Now, the church over in Philadelphia had some real enemies. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan." I'm reading in verse 9 now of Revelation 3. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee." Now, in this particular case, he was speaking about some who were of, he said, of the synagogue of Satan. God said of the synagogue of Satan, they were Jews. But they were certainly not worshiping the Lord, and no doubt they were contesting what the people in Philadelphia were doing for the Lord. And the Lord makes a tremendous statement here. He said, "I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." Now, we might not have a direct application concerning the Jewish people doing this in our day, but you know as well as I do, we've got the modernists, we've got the liberals, we've got the leftists, and they despise the preaching of God's word. I'm speaking about people who are in church. They mock and make fun of those who would seek to win others to Christ, and those who stand for the verbal plenary inspiration of the word of God, stand boldly for the blood of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, his death and his burial and his resurrection. I remember some years ago getting called to a home of a woman who was dying. And when I went to see her, she told me that she wanted to apologize to me. Well, I didn't know what it was for. I didn't know the lady. And then she told me the story. She said that sometime prior to that, I had visited her in the hospital, and she had heard about me and talking to people about Christ and their need to be saved. And her account was that when I had talked to her, that she told me she was saved, and she told me that basically just to get rid of me. Well, she went back to a liberal church, and she told someone on the pastoral staff about that. And I became kind of a matter of a joke, the butt of the joke. She said when she would see this preacher in the services, one of the last things he would say to her, well, don't let old Wingard get you. And so she said, shortly after one of those statements, I went to the doctor and I found out that I have cancer and I'm terminal. I'm dying. And she said, preacher, I just want you to know this. I have now come to know Christ as my Savior, and I'm sorry for what I said. Well, God be praised that this precious woman was saved, but isn't it sad that in what should have been a church of Jesus Christ, the very fact that somebody would be concerned about her soul was a laughing matter, and the preacher who would care for her soul was what we would call the butt of the joke. Well, I'm so glad the precious lady got saved. It would not have been a big thing had she not called me to her bedside. But it was an important matter to her, and I thank God that she was able to clear her conscience of this matter before she died. And yes, she did die. And God be praised, she was saved and she's with the Lord. So God has a way to bring those who mock and ridicule the gospel and those who serve Christ. He has a way to bring them to accountability. Now in verse 10, we read, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. They had kept the word of God's patience. Praise the Lord. He said, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, I don't know how to just define this from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. But I do know this, that we are approaching, in fact, we already have entered into a time, especially in this country, that's so different, so strange. We're living in what is now called post-Christian America. Now, everybody who knows anything about history knows that America was founded to worship Lord. It was not founded to be a religious country. It was founded to be a Christian land. It was to be where Christ Jesus would be honored. Patrick Henry made that clear many, many years ago, and so did others. Even the Supreme Court, if you go back to the rulings of the Supreme Court, you'll find where they had declared that this is a primarily Christian land. Didn't mean that everybody in it was saved, but Christ was to be honored. That's what it was founded for. Now, that has changed, and now it's supposed to be a pluralistic society, and that no one religion is any better than the other. In fact, I think the desire of the Antichrist forces is to make it just simply a secular nation. But there are some exceptions to that, because if you have been keeping up with the news, you know that there are even in some of the public school curriculums, they are introducing the children to Islam. They're having them to wear Islamic garb, and they're introducing them to sections of the Quran, and especially those sections whereby people pronounce themselves to be believers in Allah. Dear friend, these things are real, and they're happening in our day. And so our Lord Jesus Christ says to his people, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And I believe that time has started. I really believe it is. I cannot draw you a definite line, say, on this date, but I have lived for quite a while now in this country, and I have seen certainly the same thing happen here that Jeremiah accused Israel of. That is, this country has turned its back on Jehovah God as he has been manifested through his Son, Jesus Christ, and they have chosen them out, other gods and broken vessels, vessels that can hold no water. Well, I see it's time for us to close this broadcast. Good Lord willing, we'll come back to this on our next time together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. The entrance of it truly giveth light. And Lord, I want to thank you for this great promise to the church in Philadelphia. And dear Father, may we be able to claim the same promise as we go through what Peter describes over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, when he said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happen unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May our Lord be pleased to make each of us channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.